Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to The Art of Kindness, where we have compassionate conversations with artists from all areas of the entertainment industry who are using their voice to spread joy and make this big spinning planet in the sky a better place to be. I'm Robert Peter Paul, and I'm so glad you're here.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me.
All the weather outside is frightful. Woo! And the stars are so deep. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, there are so many Christmas songs that I love.
Well, that's certainly one way to begin an episode. Unhinged, who, me? Starting out an episode on an unhinged note? Literally? Nah! We're barely through the intro, and I am completely hyper and excited because today we have on a guest who has a new Christmas song, and I love Christmas music. I don't know about you, but my friends, as the weather starts to get cold and the holiday lights start to twinkle, I am blasting Christmas music 24/7! My two kittens are looking at me like I'm crazy right now, by the way. Did I mention I have two kittens? Ah, they are so cute. They're curled up in little balls on the chair right now that they're not supposed to be on, actually. You're not supposed to be on that chair. But I'm going to let you stay because you're cute. And I'm already seated and recording, okay? I'm buckled in. Anyway, I love holiday music. Dolly Parton's Holly Dolly Christmas is one of my favorite albums. Not that you asked, but I do have the microphone. She released a bonus version of the album this year, and it is chef's kiss. Amazing. I mean, it's Dolly Parton. Come on. Do you have a favorite holiday album that just gives you all the festive feelings? Let us know on Instagram at Art of Kindness Podcast and at Rob Peter Paul. Come on, join our little kindness community. What, what? Anyhoozle, if it wasn't obvious already, our guest today does have a Christmas song to add to the twinkling pantheon of holiday music. Today's guest is Broadway star, singer, actress, and dancer, Gabrielle Ruiz. Oh, my cat just fell off the couch. Born and raised in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, Gabrielle grew up set on being a dancer. She eventually received a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Dance Performance from Oklahoma City University's Ann Lacey School of Dance and Arts Management. After college, Ruiz moved to New York City, where she danced onto the theater scene. The triple threat broke onto Broadway, starring in shows like If Then with Idina Menzel, or Adele Dazeem, Evita with Ricky Martin, and In the Heights with Lin-Manuel Miranda. Lin loved Gabrielle's work on the latter so much that he then referred her to the team of a new CW pilot at the time, which was called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. The rest, of course, is history, as Gabrielle has become known for bringing to life Valencia Perez on all four seasons of the Golden Globe and Emmy Award-winning, critically acclaimed musical comedy series, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Gabrielle has also lent her voice to series like Star Trek Lower Decks, a hit podcast called What Friends Are For, and now new music. To bring this baby full circle, she released her first original holiday single this year called Twinkle Twinkle, which will give you all the holiday feels. We get into all this and so much more. As a teacher to young artists, Gabrielle has a deep well of wisdom to share. As always, please stick around after the interview for your kindness tip of the week, co-starring the love of my life, my brand new wife, Cassie Peterpaul. Meow. Now, without further ado, please welcome the gracious Gabrielle Ruiz. Hello, you look great.
Good morning. Are you on the East Coast?
I am, yeah, so it's not as early for me. It's so early there right now, isn't it?
It's like not 8 as early as for me. I have a kid, so.
Oh, true.
Pretty luxurious that my husband, I was like, can you stay till 9? And he's like, yeah. So I didn't have to do interviews like at 6 for me.
Okay, that's nice. We just got kittens, so I feel like I have a kid now, even though it's not the same, but it's they the do same. Wake you up early.
It's the same.
Okay. Yeah, they both eat a lot and cuddle
and
up.
And poop a lot.
Oh,
my
yeah.
My cat's like 15, and I am so tired of her stinky poop. Not to be morbid or anything, but like, I'm like, why don't we just moved into a house?
Nice.
And I was like, you should go outside. And Philip's like, I don't know if I can handle like her not coming back for you, not for me, which is a lie. And then I'm like, just let her outside.
Oh, what's her name?
Veronica.
Veronica, that's a cute name. Look at that.
Well, it says it all.
Listen, cats have their own personalities. But before I keep talking about my cats, I just want to say I'm such a huge fan of your work. I've loved you on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. You killed it. I've seen a Chorus Line bootlegs. You know, I started listening to your podcast a little bit, which is so wonderful. So, you know, before I keep on complimenting you for hours and hours, I would love to know, how are you at receiving compliments? You seem pretty good at it.
Oh my God. Do I?
Well, you smiled. You were like, thank you.
Tell me more.
Well, your hair looks great. You know, every time you're on screen of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, you just sparkled. You twinkled, maybe I should say.
You know, with prepping for your show, I was trying to clarify this mantra that I am an advocate for, which is saying thank you during compliments. It is such a pet peeve of mine from both ends when people are just like, you get a compliment and you literally bash it down. Like you have no idea. Here I go. Let's do this from the top. Let's start from the top of the show with my
she's getting a soapbox. No.
With my soapbox tea. You know, you don't know how much it took that person for themselves in their own world to compliment you.
Yeah.
Don't bash it down. Just say thank you. Even if you disagree, I am a firm believer and advocate for just say thank you. And sometimes when I disagree with a compliment, when I do, I don't say you're wrong. I don't say take that back with some little condescending back, you know, just pulling me or myself down. I just say, that's so kind of you. Mm-hmm. That's actually what I say, because I don't know the world that it took for that person to give me that compliment, whether or not I disagree. That's what I'm going to say.
That's beautiful.
Right off the top.
I love that. I actually started to do a similar thing where I'm just like, you're too kind. And I think it's because I'm awkward and that's where it stemmed from, where I'm just like, you're too kind. And then I run away. But it is such a weird thing because we want compliments ultimately, and then we get them and we kind of deflect them or whatever. But
deflect, exactly. Yeah. Or bash. Like people bash them down, whether they put themselves down, they can't get, because it's just so kind of someone to do that.
Yeah.
But it's not about you, boo-boo.
No.
Even if it is. I think it's 50-50 with someone giving you a compliment, and whether or not it's for them to give you the compliment or they're lying or it's, you know, or anything.
Yeah.
You know, I just think just accepting for what it is, whether you take it with you in your life or not, I think you just should say thank you.
I totally agree.
Or if you disagree, just say, that's so kind of you.
Bless your heart. It is very vulnerable to give compliments, I think. And so I couldn't agree with you more. And also, why do we take in that negative stuff and just let that stick with us and then let the compliments roll off our back? You know what I mean?
I know.
There could be 100 compliments and then one person says, oh, like your outfit's weird or whatever it is. And that's what sticks with you. So it's just such a weird thing. And in doing this podcast, I always start by asking that question because my guests are usually these prolific, awesome artists who I'm sure get compliments all the time, and most people cannot take one, is what I've learned.
They can't take it.
So people can't take this is it. A good solution. You're helping everybody.
Some people can't take kindness.
I can't.
It's a difficult thing, and I get it. I get it. Everyone comes from something that has put them in this position to reply, you know, to respond in the way they do, but it's definitely takes work.
Totally. Well, kindness can take work, and we're here today to talk about your career through the lens of kindness. And so before we kind of get into that, and I have so many questions for you, and I want to talk about your new single, Twinkle Twinkle, to start out, I would just love to know, what is your definition of kindness?
Oh, this was a tough one.
It's hard.
My definition of kindness is gracious giving. It's just gracious giving, I think, or giving graciously. Maybe, you know, we can pick one of the two. The people that are genuinely kind are just so gracious in giving, never taking. And when they receive, they somehow reciprocate and repurpose that gift and give it back.
Mm, I love that. And you even had an alliteration in there, which makes it even better. The GG. Look at that. Look at you go.
'Tis the holidays.
The GGG, the gracious giving Gabrielle. I think that's so beautiful. And it is the perfect time this holiday season, because giving doesn't have to be, you know, just giving someone a gift. It can be more of a mental thing and being there for somebody and giving them your time, which I think is the biggest gift of all, as Oprah says, the big O. But I love that definition. Do you feel like, you know, you grew up in Texas?
I did.
I know you kind of discovered, I don't need to tell you that, you discovered your love for the arts at such a young age. What for you was the first act of kindness you feel like you remember while you were starting out that you think kind of changed your trajectory or really kind of set you on the path that you ultimately went on?
That is such a great question.
I know it's a big question, and I'm sure there were a lot of them, or I hope there were a lot of them.
I was, and still am, a pretty type A achiever. I would not like to think overachiever. I feel like the overachiever gets a bad rap, or it gets generalized. And I was the kid in ballet class that always stayed after and worked on my fouettés. You know, center stage was everything when I was in high school. And I was made fun of a lot. I was teased a lot, there was a lot of eye rolls that, you know, back then I was gobby. Ugh. She just tries so hard. I just remember always getting like just kind of eye rolls from not only the students, but sometimes the teachers. And I just loved it so much. But my senior year, I was able to be the principal ballet dancer. We never did Nutcracker, funny enough. We always did another ballet in February. We just, you know, outsourced all the patrons to another part of the year for a different ballet. So I know all the other ballets. I've done all the other ballets except the Nutcracker. And so it was my year to be able to be the lead, and we did Coppelia. And Sylvia is her name. She was always in charge of managing the dance studio's like wardrobe shop, whatever it is, the shop, you know, where everyone buys their leotards and tights and shoes and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And she got her dad to make, for Coppelia, she made like a 2-story set house, because Coppelia sits up high, like in her little pedestal, like her little high tower feel. And Swanhilda, I think, is who I played, who's the lead. And she pretends to like, you know, she's got a thing. She pretends to go, she wants to like say, she thinks she's real. She thinks Coppelia is real. And there's this whole da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's the opening number solo.
Mm-hmm.
And I practiced it so hard, of course, because I loved it and I wanted it to be right. And Sylvia's dad made that set for me. And I thought that was the kindest thing, because it makes me emotional, because like they just saw my talent, or they saw that I tried hard, and they wanted it also to be good, you know. And it just wasn't. And you know, we were a ballet studio that didn't have huge sets or props, because we didn't do the Nutcracker, right? So there wasn't a huge warehouse of sets and props. And it is what it was. And that was like the first time in my time there that there was like an actual set. And I just thought that was so kind.
That is really kind. It's amazing how these things stick with you, and it can.
They did that for me.
Yeah. It could seem like to the other person, maybe it wasn't a big deal, but it's something you'll always remember. And I thank you for sharing that. And I'm curious too with that. I don't think you said perfectionism, but the not overachieving
achievement.
Type
just achievement.
A, achievement type A-ism, which, you know, I can.
How about type achievement?
Type achieve the TA. We'll go with the TA, the tits and ass if we want to stick on the a chorus line theme. No, we'll do the TA. I'm wondering too, as you kind of like progressed and you started auditioning and then you made, I think you made your Broadway debut with In the Heights, right? As a replacement. Did you find it tough to come in to an established show family and try and like pay honor to what was there? Like, do you feel like that not overachieving, the TAing side of you,
the type achievement
helped you? Or do you think you had to like wrangle with kind of letting go a little bit of the perfectionism as you started working? You know, how did you kind of navigate
There wasn't tons of exposure for professional artist. Like there was no LinkedIn, there was no YouTube, there was no social media in the 90s, 2000s when I was growing up, and I had no exposure until I went to like a family vacation to New York at the age of 12. And I was like, oh, this is actually a profession.
Yeah.
You know, like Broadway is a profession. And I was, you know, bit by the bug per a chorus line, I can do that. And I went to college where everybody stayed after and worked on their fuetes. And I was like, oh, okay, good. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that, you know, not just care. It's they care about this niche of a craft, right? Or a niche of a talent that they want to make into a profession. And so when I learned what summer stock was, I got a taste of being a professional during the summers of my college at Music Theater of Wichita. I was ready and fueled to embrace that in my Broadway aspirations. So to your question, did I have to pipe that down or tone? No, absolutely not. Everybody was like me.
Yeah.
On Broadway and better, you know, and even like just stronger and more of achiever. Not an overachiever, just more of an achiever. And I was in the right place. I was absolutely in the right place. And it was embraced completely. And everyone had even higher expectations. Alex Lacamoire, who was the music director as well from before Hamilton for In the Heights. I don't think I've ever sang the three roles I understudied, which were Nina, Vanessa, and Carla. I always had a session with him after I went on because he just wanted me to be better. Mm. You know what I mean? It never was that. And maybe in my 20s, during the time I was like, he hates me or he hates my voice. No, it's because he's like, let's work on it again. Let's work on it again. Let's work. And he's an achiever, you know? And I was in the right place. Mm. I found my familia.
Yeah. And I think you were ready for it too, because I think that TA-ism sometimes can make you get in your own head and get in your own way. And you kind of have those thoughts of, oh, they hate me, I'm not good enough. But when you spin it around and you're like, I want everyone else to be better than me, so I rise to the occasion. And I'm not saying that was you, but that's
for the challenge.
Yeah. You kind of want to like rise up to that. And obviously you nailed it. You killed it. And I read that Lin-Manuel Miranda even like kind of saw you in the show and then referred you to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which like talk about acts of kindness. I mean, that's pretty incredible and casual. I don't know.
Thanks, Lin. Thanks for being so kind.
Thanks, Lin. Yeah. I mean, what's something you learned from him? He's certainly someone who everybody's looking up to now, and talk about achieving, you know?
Oh, I mean, Lin remembers everybody. He just remembers everybody personally. And there is no expectation specifically from me. I speak for myself with him having to, if we're at the same, you know, Hollywood party, or if we're at in the same studio at Chelsea in New York, or does Chelsea still exist? I haven't been
it
there.
It does.
Like,
it's beautiful.
10 years. Yeah. Is it beautiful?
It is. It's really nice. It's a nice
They updated it? Oh, thank God.
They did.
Well, Chelsea Studios, you know, and like, I remember doing a gig in the Poconos and we were rehearsing at Chelsea Studios and he stuck his head out into the studio and was like, Gabby! And this was right before Hamilton took off, right before I left for Los Angeles for Crazy Ex and didn't know I was never coming back to New York. And he just makes you feel like your friend, you know, and you are. And when he can't make something, he'll text you and say, I can't make it, or he just won't. And it's okay because he's that kind that, you know, he genuinely is a busy man. And I remember that, like, it established our friendship that he looked around, you know, he's looking inside the Chelsea studio, see who who he knows with a smile on his face. And then he yells across and I just ran over and gave him a hug. And he made me feel so special that moment. And in despite like all the other moments, he made me feel special, like coming to my baby shower on Zoom, you know, and during the pandemic. And he participated with the games and people texted me later like, wow, Lynn came to your baby shower. I was like, yeah, he's my friend. He's my friend.
Yeah. Like he's a,
and he could make it.
he's a human. That's really sweet to hear. And it is, it's just great when people that get to that level still value kindness and put that first, because ultimately being a good person is better than being good at X, Y, and Z, I think.
I agree.
And you know, yeah, I love to hear that.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You know, speaking of Crazy X, I have a kind of a blanket question about that because I want to make sure we touch on everything here. But
of course,
as a fan of the show, and I know it was kind of your first series regular, it turned into that at least. And I know this is kind of a big question too, but is there a major takeaway you have from that show? You know, starting out as, I think you were recurring and then you became a main character.
I got bumped up, baby.
Well, yeah, I mean, you deserved it.
Thank you.
It's because you were doing a great job.
You know, sometimes you do great jobs and not get bumped up. Listen.
Yeah, it's true.
So a takeaway, just a takeaway. Oh, what a good question. I just am so proud of Valencia and her arc. From season 1 through 4, which Aline Brosh McKenna and Rachel Bloom, the creators of the show, the showrunners of the show, were very clear from the beginning that they wanted four seasons. And it wasn't this like, let's be Grey's Anatomy or anything, right? And it was nice to know that we had a closing notice, you know, and we could enjoy it in a very different way. And especially for me, because when I was at the end of the chapter of what I did on Broadway before Crazy X, I was hitting a ceiling of wanting to be part of a new show. Like I wanted to, it was a whole season of Gabrielle, why aren't you on your feet? You're in On Your Feet, right? And I was like, no, I've auditioned for it. You know, and so, but I was, there was this confidence in me, like I've done my best and I know I can provide content for any new creator.
Yeah.
They just have to be on board. It's not me. I think.
No,
at
that's
least
a great
I had to give
mindset.
Myself the mindset.
Yeah.
And I just reached a point in my career where I was confident in what I could provide and hoping somebody would like it. And that was what Crazy X did. They embraced my creativity. And with Valencia, she was a villain, which I loved playing. A villain. You know, they're just so stinking honest. And she ended up being able to break down and depend on the craziest character on the show, the lead. And there was crazy in her. And then she was able to befriend other women, which is a huge story for my family. We never understood that. We just couldn't ever have that story for ourselves. And then we got to, you know, from a creative side, if you look at the first season to the fourth, the evolution of all the numbers, from like the cast members and the actors, the comedians, the stand-up comedians, the improviser, like the professional improv people, and then the Broadway people, we all got to be in each other's numbers by the end of season 4 because we became friends, we became family, and the creative team realized that we could make the show better that way, right? And trust, and Catherine Burns started really, our choreographer, was able to take everyone's talents and make everyone look fantastic, and then we were everyone else's ensembles. That was so fun. So you look at I'm So Good at Yoga, where it's just me and a bunch of professional Hollywood fantastic dancers, to Love's Not a Game with David Hull leading the way, and we were all of his dancers in the back. And so, oh, I mean, what a fun time of my life.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, to go into that like supportive network and the fact that your team listened to you. I mean, it just sounds like it was like a cycle of love, and it certainly showed on screen. I mean, I use Settle For Me. I just had a callback. I use like that song from the show.
Too?
Yeah, it's such a good one. And so it's a show that's definitely stuck with me. And I was almost like freaking out because I got confused with the Rachel Bloom headlines that said reboot. I was like, they're rebooting the show. I mean, it's soon, but I'm excited. And then I
realized, let the Reddit fly.
Right? And then I realized it was, her new show Reboot is actually awesome. So
yeah,
that was exciting. But, you know, just hearing you speak about that, I'm so thankful to also know that you're a teacher and you're teaching young artists. And I feel like that's a valuable lesson you can instill in them, because most acting classes don't teach you the mindset. They don't teach you how to get out of your own way. And I feel like what you just said is such a great piece of advice for young people trying to enter this business, about realizing it's not me, it's my worth that I'm bringing to this. And it's just, you know, they're not on board because it's not my role. It's not meant to be. It's something to do with me and my talent. Is that something you try to instill in them? Or do you feel like there's, I guess, a bigger lesson?
I tell them to quit.
Oh, no, well, kidding. Look at that. There
Don't
you go.
Don't do it.
And Zoom.
Don't do it.
You're like, if you could do anything else,
kidding.
Do it. Yeah. No one ever says that.
No, sure. I definitely, when it comes to mindset in my masterclasses, it's important for me to carry on what I learned from Joe Rowan, who just retired as artistic director at the school that I went to at Oklahoma City University, the dance school. I'm the dance major. And a lot of people know that. And it changed my life when she said for the first time, and continued to say, what we do is show business, not show begging. That was key when it comes to being a professional artist, not an aspiring artist or not a starving artist, right? You can still not hit your goals and not starve, in my opinion. I think you can. I think we can as artistic entrepreneurs. And I loved that she said that, because it's not about me. It's not please love me, which I think is a universal struggle we all can relate to in any part of our life, even if it's not professional. Please love me. And if you're looking for that in the arts industry, it's very difficult to feel that you ever achieve that. I mean, look at Celine Dion right now. She just came out with her stiff person syndrome. I don't know if you heard about that.
I did, yeah.
And she has this video out that is like, I can't do my 2023 concerts. And my husband and I were talking about last night, like, I want to pray for her, like, not necessarily to be cured, because syndromes and diseases, my dad has a very specific syndrome as well, that there is no cure. And not to be like a Debbie Downer.
No.
I'm praying for her to find love in her non-stage life, you know, and she has it. I would assume she does, but to fill that love that she has with her audience and with her fans across the universe, not even the world, right? And so, you know, finding that love, what we do is show business, and then being able to as well separate what you love out, you know, a chorus line, what I did for love, to separate the love and think about your bills and think about, you know, your goals as for your family, all the objective things. Like, that's what I teach mostly in, or at least I try to communicate that what we do is wonderful and has a lot of accolades and you see the twinkle, twinkle per se. But there's also so much work and so many no's and so many disappointments, no matter which tier. If you're like an A-list celebrity, or if you are a hustling artist and, you know, at Chelsea Studios, like, you still have to work on that.
Yeah, I think the people that are still working are the ones that don't forget that, too. It's like at the end of every project, they're like, this could be my last. You know what I mean? Nothing's guaranteed.
Yeah.
And
nothing's guaranteed.
Yeah, you're reminding me too of what someone said on here once that stuck with me, which was, don't forget who you're doing this all for. Because I think a lot of the times we can get stuck in our own head and we're begging and we want them to love us, but that just is desperation, and people can smell that from a mile away. And so when you think back and you're like, oh, I'm doing this for not only like the child in me that had a dream, but like for my new wife or whatever, X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. And that can kind of frame it where it's like, I don't need the applause. And I think a lot of artists during the pandemic were going a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs because there was no one applauding for them. You know, it's like you can do the dishes. Yes. People aren't going to applaud for that. So it's an important lesson to remember, to just find that love and happiness where you are. And, you know, otherwise you're just going to keep searching. There's no end to it. It's like, oh, I got a co-star. Now I'm recurring. Now you're just going to keep searching for something that's non-existent, really. So I think that's really beautiful.
Or it's just a journey, you know, but there's no finish line. Yeah. That's the thing too. And even if you aren't an artistic, you're not a professional artist, like we all know there ain't no finish line, but we keep pretending
it's called
that,
death.
But there are times to,
sorry, it is.
But there are times to rest, you know, and then to try again. So I totally feel you.
Yeah. And I appreciate that in the episodes of your podcast I've listened to with your lovely friend, you know, you have a lot of
with Pallavi Sastry. Yes.
Yes. Everyone subscribe. You have a lot of very open and honest conversations. I love that title. I keep wanting to sing that's what friends are for, but you know, it's
we didn't get the rights.
I know. Sorry. I understand that. I wanted to use a couple songs in here that I couldn't. But anyway, you mentioned Twinkle Twinkle in a little aside there. And of course, it's the holiday season and you've released this new single, Twinkle Twinkle. It literally sparkles when you listen to it. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I know this was 2 years in the making, right?
Yes, we did it. We finally did it.
And you kind of did it over like a spiritual meeting of the minds, which is really cool. Can you just talk to us a little bit about the song's inception?
Yes, of course. Two friends of mine who are both also like Christian people like I am. We used to do concerts together and I would produce them and direct them. And they were Christmas concerts. And Chen Sing Tao wrote these beautiful poems. And Charlie Malcolm is a music writer, aspiring creator, you know, content creator here in Hollywood. And it just came like a light bulb 1 year, maybe, but it might be like 3 years ago. I said, Charlie, we should take Chen's poems and make them into songs and I'll sing them. And I'm not a music writer. I'm very honest about that. That's not my intention when it comes to getting into the music industry. But these poems just needed to be heard more than once or just live at a concert. And they're just so stunning. So it took us 3 years to finally do it. And we got one done around October. And once we figured out my pop voice, because we tried it like Gabrielle Musical Theater Broadway, high key, belt my face off. And I heard the track and I was like, this sounds so laborious. I am exhausted listening to this. Oh. And it's just like, it doesn't need to be that. It needs to be a smooth, you know, acoustic folk pop sensibility. And so I sent him like 15 versions of artists' voices, how I would mimic them, like from Britney Spears to Mandy Moore, Macy Gray, Cher, you know, just like different tones.
And please
we found
release that.
My pop. It'll be on my Patreon.
Please.
We found my voice per se, and we took the key down like four notches. And it just has like, to me, like a Mandy Moore, like Imogen Heap feel, you know, if they had a baby. And I just think it's so warm and swirly. And Charlie did all the harmonies and just has a beautiful brain. So I can narrow it down to like, I have friends with beautiful brains and I brought all three of our brains together and we made this song.
Oh, I love that. That's the full quote. There is this like beautiful, it's like an ethereal song. There is that like lovely quality, like you're saying, of like Imogen Heap mixed with a little bit of like Florence and the Machine popped in there. And
oh my God, what a compliment. Thank you. Yeah, I love her.
I love her too. Yeah. I think everyone should download this song immediately. And I know we're running out of time, but do you really quickly have time for a surprise game?
Yeah, let's go.
It'll be super quick, but I want to make sure we play it because it's kind of like my gift to you. It is called the compliment game because, you know, you haven't got enough compliments already.
Everyone's beautiful in their own way. It's the compliment game on the AOK. It's the compliment game.
What a way to start my morning. That's
I hope so. I hope so. Basically, I reached out to some people in your life for a loving statement about you.
Oh, God.
And
how dare you? Let the tears roll.
Yeah, you just have to guess who said it. I told them to keep it short.
I have to guess who said it.
Yeah. And they embedded some hints in there. And this interview came together quickly. So I was like DMing people and they both got right back to me. So you have two, which is exciting. And I think you'll get them because usually there's a hint, but they kind of put the hints inside. And I'll start with the easier one that I think you'll get right away. But maybe not. Okay.
My husband. No.
We'll start with one of them. Anyway, if you have any questions, you can ask me like yes or no questions. I don't know much, but I'll try and help you.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. And I'm all about guessing. Let's go.
All right,
cool.
You got it. We'll say you get three guesses because people go crazy if there's no rules and whatever. Okay. This is your first one.
Yikes.
Gabrielle has taken my comedy writing to screen with impeccable timing execution. She is an absolute pleasure to work with as a scene partner, as well as choreographing in general. We are lucky to work with her and look forward to the next movie starring her.
Next movie? Movie, choreographing, scene partner. Is that Bonner?
Yeah, Jared Bonner.
Jared Bonner?
Yeah. Yes, you nailed it on the first try. That TA-ism.
He is one of the kindest people. You should have him on your show. We did Dance Dads, the movie together. Mm. We got some festival awards too this year.
Ah, nice. I was seeing that on your page and that's how I kind of like sleuthed it out and reached out to him and sent him this like wild DM. And he got right back to me and was so sweet. And yeah, he was like, keep me posted. So that was amazing that you got that on
thanks,
the first.
Thanks, Jared.
You pulled out those hints. Like it was just like
I did.
Ornaments off a tree.
One.
Yes.
I was thinking it was Rachel until I was like, I don't think I've choreographed for her. So that's.
I know. I was like, I should reach out to Rachel's publicist. I was like, she'll probably get back to me like next week. So I, or
next month,
maybe she'd get quick. I know. But this was quick. So you do have one more. This one's also sweet. I think the thing I admire the most about her is her patience. Things around her can be loud, obnoxious, hurtful, and trying, but she never flinches, never wavers. She's long suffering.
I'm long suffering.
What a term. I had to Google that. I was like, is that a good thing? Oh, it is a good thing. Okay. It means patient.
Basically, it means patient.
Which is a beautiful quality. So,
is that the end of the compliment?
That's the end. Yeah, this one could have been long, but I was like, a few sentences.
Say that one again.
Okay. I think the thing I admire the most about her is her patience. Things around her can be loud, obnoxious, hurtful, and trying, but she never flinches, never wavers. She's long suffering.
That's my husband.
It is, Philip. Yes. Yes. You won.
With his specific compliments using biblical, accurately biblical terms like long suffering.
That is biblical.
That in the end makes me laugh. That's how you know I know it's the man that I married.
That's so sweet. I love seeing all your pictures with him and
Mercedes.
Yes, so beautiful. Yeah. Such a beautiful family. And thank you, Philip, for getting back to me.
Thanks, babe, for the best compliment ever.
Long suffering. I won't make you suffer any longer in talking with me, but I would love to know if you could just end our time together by sharing like a tangible kindness or wellness tip that you think listeners should incorporate into their daily life. So something kind of like specific that people can do.
Prepare and commit to a single phrase that helps you accept a compliment.
Ooh.
Goes back to the top of this episode. Yes.
Full circle moment.
Can you tell? Like, I'm just so like, it's like almost a pet peeve of mine when people are like, no, I hate it when you compliment me. I'm like, it's not about you.
Yeah. No.
Let this person give you a compliment. Because they did, go back to the top. Just start from the top, guys. You'll hear my
because it does waste time. And also, I feel like it's just like fruitless. And you feel like you're almost like having to cater more to the person. I don't know. Just accept it. I think that's beautiful advice.
But prepare. But also like prepare, like think of a sentence and commit to it. Mm. So when you disagree, it's a sentence like I say, even like I disagree with this compliment or you're crazy or you're absolutely wrong, or it's condescending or, it's like a backward compliment.
Yeah.
That's so kind of you.
Mm.
Like, I don't accept that, but I don't say that. that I just say, that's so kind of you.
I love that. We had Leslie Margarita. Do you know her? She's like an amazing.
Obsessed with
her.
Oh
my God, me too. She was on here and she was telling me that when people are bragging about themselves, so like reverse compliments, when it's just all about them, she has a go-to phrase and it's just, good for you. And I love that so much.
Good for you.
Good for you. So I think having that in reverse is super helpful because it's a weird societal thing where it's ingrained in our brains to stay humble and like accepting compliments isn't, but it is humble to just, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Whatever it is, take that advice. Listen to Gabrielle.
Listen to me.
Yeah, be gracious. Listen to me. Also listen to her podcast. Listen to our new single. Listen to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend soundtracks that are streaming. I mean, there's so much we can spend time listening to you with, which is really exciting. I appreciate you taking the time to be here. And I'm glad we have someone in this business that we can look up to like you, who is teaching the next generation really great principles. And I wish you a great holiday season.
Thank you for having me. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was so nice to meet you.
Have a good rest of your day. Bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for your kindness tip of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm back here with the one and only official Mrs. Peter Paul.
Hello, everybody.
It's been 1 month since we got married. Yes. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know people say it's like always a blur or like the night like doesn't like it's crazy.
Yeah, it does feel like a big dream. And right now we have kittens. It's snowing outside. We're cozied up by the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Life's pretty good, you
Life's
know?
Life's good.
Yeah, I can get a little frustrated trying to set this stuff up and put the sound together, but that's just part of life.
That's okay.
And now I'm happy you're here with me. And Cassie has a very special holiday-themed, I believe,
yes,
kindness tip to share that I don't know. So I'm going to sit back, relax, and put my listening ears on.
Okay, this was inspired by my mother and our elevator.
Oh.
Yes, yes. I will explain. So my mom is really good at getting like this supply of, I don't want to say extra gifts, bonus gifts. She'll have like these beautiful candles, things that everyone would like, so that if an occasion presents itself, maybe she's getting lunch with someone last minute and she wants to bring them a treat, she always has something to take from. And it's not impersonal. It's just always things that people would genuinely like. So I was thinking about that. And then in our elevator, we have, in our apartment, we have a sign about donating toys. We have a toy donation. I don't know if it's through our apartment or not. But so my thought was, when you are out shopping, if you are out shopping, or while you are on Amazon perusing, think about getting together a small supply of things that can be donated. So gifts for children, extra canned goods for community homes, anything that is readily available for you to give away for donations and for collections going on in the holidays. You could even keep it in your car in case you run by it. You know, people always are outside of Stop and Shop and things like that doing these collections. You could even make it monetary if you want, maybe put aside a few dollars. But just to have those things readily available, I always want to donate, and then it just like slips my mind to get those things. So it'd be nice to plan ahead and have that supply ready.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you, Patty, and our elevator.
Patty is really good about that. She just has a lot of extra things around the house, like a lot of magical little tokens.
And it's always like exactly what you need.
Yeah, we never leave the house without something that we need.
Yeah, even though
or don't need, like, yeah. Your childhood although I love it, like pottery painted bunny rabbit from when you were little. But she's great about that. She always has extra like cleaning supplies and candles, like you said, and
yeah,
so many wonderful things. So I think that's a great kindness tip, and I think it also applies to not only giving back to shelters and nonprofits and kids and churches and soup kitchens, but also just to friends. Like, you might have a friend come over last minute or invite you to dinner that night. And yes, it's nice during the holidays to show up with a little candle in a bag.
Yeah.
You know, it makes people feel extra special.
Yes.
So I love that. Thank you, Cassie.
You're welcome, Robert.
And thank you all for tuning back in to the Art of Kindness podcast. Please remember to take care of yourself this holiday season while you are buying all these gifts. Because the true meaning of Christmas and Hanukkah and all these other holidays during this time is, I think, to love each other mm-hmm. and take care of each other. It's not about the presents. It's about your presence.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. See what you did there.
Put that on a bumper sticker. Mm-hmm. And also remember, until next time,
everything's going to be A-okay.
Mwah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.